chapter 12 is under here.
Hare Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, continue with the Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 15, purport to the Bhagavatam. So this is on the element of prayaschitta, right? To indicate the purity of bhakti, devotional service, Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anakulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirutama. One should render devotional, transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruit of activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami further explains that bhakti is kleshagni subhada, which means if one takes to devotional service, all kinds of unnecessary labor and materialist distress cease entirely, and one achieves all good fortune. Bhakti is so powerful that it can also be said, to be moksha lagutakrit. In other words, it minimizes the importance of liberation. So again, the point is that transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord favorably, right? Because otherwise one could remember the Lord, one could render service, but it's not necessarily favorably. So you have to make sure favorably is the element. And then without a desire for material profit. And that material profit is karma or jnana. Because sometimes the material profit means karma. But still, jnana is considered material, right? Because if it's temporary, it's material, right? If it's eternal, that's devotion. And the stresses will go away because you deal with it. Then if you don't have, one is anxiety because of material desire. You get rid of material desire, then there's no anxiety, right? Because we're discussing all these systems of philosophy. That's what they're trying to do, is remove material anxiety. Yeah. Right? So five of the schools, they use the process of removing that anxiety by giving up all material desire. By analyzing it, by in some way dealing with it, that you get rid of the desire. Then their idea, you won't be in anxiety. You'll be happy, right? So that would be their idea of the kleshagni shubhada, right? But unfortunately, it doesn't work because they're only dealing with the temporary, right? And it's a very difficult process, right? Very difficult to try to give up the anxieties by just giving them up, but not by replacing them, right? And then Karma Mimamsa has the idea is that, well, if you just do pious activities, then everything will always be nice, so you'll always be happy, right? But the reason that the other five schools are doing what they're doing is because they've already tried that, right? It didn't work, right? The material doesn't work, so therefore, So the point is that devotional service, you're replacing, the activity is the same, you're replacing the result, instead of being for yourself, it's for Krishna. So that's what then makes it that all the difficulties go away. The difficulties are only there because we think it's for me, right? If it's for Krishna, it's not difficult, right? Or even if there is seeming difficulties, no one minds because it's being done for someone else. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, we'll try this one if it works. You go into the kitchen, you're going to cook for yourself something. There's no one else going to eat, it's only you going to eat. You know, unless you're someone who really loves to cook for yourself, then there's a good chance, you know, if it's edible, you're doing okay, it's a good day. Right? But if you're cooking for someone else, you can take all kinds of trouble and, you know, plans, and it can take all day or be done over many days. But for yourself, you know, if it was done yesterday, it would have been better, right? You know, in fact, if it comes between, if there is something to eat that you don't have to cook, you know, even though it's not that great, you'd rather eat that than cook. You understand? So,
made yesterday.
Yeah, if it was made yesterday. Yeah, well, you didn't want to cook yesterday. Is that, yay, what is it? Then you get one day grace, right? Then tomorrow again you have to cook. I guess that's why, how you say? That's why God made pizzerias, right? So you can just order out and you don't have to worry about it, right? So, the idea is that being done for someone else, what would normally be called a difficulty, is not a difficulty anymore because it's being done for someone else. Right? Does that make sense? You know, and then it was being done with Krishna with affection, so therefore then it becomes, you know, nice. So even if one doesn't know, if one can observe that there's no change in the environment, but there's a change in the mentality. Because whether you're happy or not is your mentality, not the environment. You know what I'm saying? It's nice that it's warm out, the sun's out, and everyone's going, great, you know, this and that. You know, but somebody's complaining it's too hot and that. And then when the clouds come and there may be some rain, then they're going, wow, great, it's cooled down. Everyone else is going, wow, no, it's not so. So it doesn't, it's how you interpret it. It has nothing to do with actually the environment. You know? Non-devotees must undergo material hardships because they are prone to commit sinful fruit of activities. The desire to commit sinful actions continues in their hearts due to ignorance. Right? So they're suffering because of ignorance. Right? They're doing wrong things, they're getting wrong reactions. Right? So if they only did nice things, then they wouldn't be getting bad reactions. But the problem is why is someone doing bad things? Because they expect to get some results from it. Right? They're under the illusion that if I do something wrong, I'll get something more than if I do something right. Right? So in other words, as long as one's pious, then it works. But as soon as one gets greedy, then immediately there's a problem. But even if we say they did everything nice and perfectly, still, then we find that those cultures where they're doing everything nicely, they're still going to the forest. Because material life doesn't satisfy. Right? These sinful actions are divided into three categories, pataka, mahapataka, and atipataka, and also into two divisions, parabdha and aparabdha. Right, so we went through pataka, mahapataka, and atipataka. You know, so you have your regular, your really big ones, and just incidental ones, you know. So we went through all those different. Two divisions, parabdha and aparabdha. Parabdha refers to sinful reactions for which one is suffering at present. And aparabdha refers to source of potential suffering. So parabdha is what's going on now, what you have the reaction to now. Aparabdha is what's coming, you know, coming events, like that. You know, in other words, you know, you're complaining about it's a hot day and you're late and this and that and those people held you up and all that and you're crossing the street. That's parabdha, right? The truck that's coming down the street, that's aparabdha. But when it gets to the, you know, the zebra crossing, then it will be parabdha.
Transition.
Yeah, the transition. Right, so the aparabdha has the element of the bija, kutaj, and all those things. When the seeds, bija, of sinful reactions have not yet fructified, the reactions are called aparabdha. These seeds of sinful action are unseen, but they are unlimited, and no one can trace when they were first planted. Because when you do something, then the desire to do it again is immediate. Another seed is created. Right? In other words, let's say I have the desire to do an activity. It's a seed. Now, as soon as I do the activity, right, then two things happen. One is the seed sprouts, right? That's kutaj. The other, another seed is of the same thing is produced. Right? So that's why it's said is you can't do something and that way get rid of it. What happens is that you do something, the desire keeps going, but you get tired of it, or you see the bad reactions or something. So then you have the element that possibly not dealing with it. So then that seed is created. So then it's just a matter of which one's more prominent, the seeds to do or the seeds not to do. You know, like this. So like that, there's unlimited of these seeds. Then they sprout. That's so the seed, the sprout, and then it's almost ready, and then, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
And if we did a reaction and we didn't like it.
Sorry?
And if we did something and we didn't like it, so would there be a seed for another time?
Yeah, no, the seed is there. It's so you did it, the option to do it again will come up. You know, so it's in other words, by understanding, then you start to discriminate. But it's only by devotional service you actually uproot, because now the opportunity comes for that, but now you do it connected to Krishna. So that won't produce a material seed. Right? But that will produce the spiritual desire to do it again. You understand? So that's how you actually get rid of them. Because then that's why they may be there, but any situation comes up from them, you'll always use in Krishna's service. So that's why it's given the example of either taking them and soaking them in water and leaving them there, or by frying them in a pan. Right? So they won't sprout.
Yes. Is this connected to taste? Like by doing a spiritual activity, you get taste for it.
Yes.
By doing a material activity,
you get taste for it. Yeah. That's what it is. So it says that's the seeds. So sometimes it gets confusing because the seed is produced, but the seed sprouts. Mm. Right. So the seed is there. It sprouts. It creates the tree that's ready to give the fruit. Now it's just a matter of you tasting the fruit. Mm. Right. So the tasting of that's prarabdha. Mm-hmm. Like that. Does that make sense? Okay. These seeds, because of prarabdha, sinful reactions that have already fructified, one is seen to have taken birth in a low family or to be suffering from other miseries. Right? So low family, lack of education, you know, lack of beauty. You know, all these things are legal problems. These are all symptoms of prarabdha, of reactions to bad things. Yeah.
Often they're explained in relation to sinful reactions. The same things are also there for pious reactions.
Yeah. Same thing is there. That's why you have to give up both, because you do a good work, it sprouts, you get the results of the good work. But the point is I did the good work, I will get those results. So the point is that to get the results, you have to be around for the results. You know, just like, let's say, I want justice. Okay, you can get justice, but you have to be around for the justice. You know, so that's the problem. You just extend, you know, your staying in the material world. When one takes the devotional service, however, all phases of sinful life, including prarabdha, aparabdha, and bija, are vanquished. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-19, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, Yatagni Shusham Ridharchi Kartot Yedam Si Bhasam Bhashmasat Tata Mad Vishaya Bhaktir Udhavainamsi Kritsnasha. My dear Uddhava, devotional service in relation with me is like a blazing fire that can burn to ashes all the fuel of sinful activities supplied to it. How devotional service vanquishes the reactions of sinful life is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:33-6. In a verse spoken during Lord Kapila's Dave's instructions to his mother, Devahuti, Devahuti said, Yan namadyeya shravanan ukirtanad, yet pravanad yat smaranad api kuchit, svadopi sadya savanaya kalpate, kuta punaste bhagavan tu darshanat. My dear Lord, even if a person born in a family of dog-eaters hears and repeats the chanting of your glories, offers respects to you and remembers you, he is immediately greater than a brahmana and is therefore eligible to perform sacrifices. Therefore, what is to be said of one who has seen you directly? In the Padma Purana, there is a statement that persons whose hearts are always attached to the devotional service of Lord Vishnu are immediately released from all the reactions of sinful life. These reactions generally exist in four phases. Some of them are ready to produce results immediately. Some are in the forms of seeds, some are unmanifested, and some are current. All such reactions are immediately nullified by devotional service. Right? So those are the four. So the seeds, the unmanifest, right? Those about to give the results, and then and the results that are current. Right? So those are the four.
What is meant by the unmanifest?
The sprout. Because it's sprouted, so now it's alive. It's dynamic, but it hasn't made the tree that, you know, you can't see when there's a sprout that you don't see all the fruits and everything like that.
Is that one kuta?
That's kuta, or kutaj, like that, however it's called. So yeah, prarabdha, aparabdha. So the aparabdha includes these others.
Yeah.
But the essential point is, aparabdha just means it's not manifest yet. You haven't gotten the results. Prarabdha is what you're getting. So those are the two main categories. Within the aparabdha, then you have that kutaj and bija also, right? But the point is kutaj isn't so important other than it sprouted, so it started. The essential point is the bij. In other words, you act on the seed, then it'll turn into prarabdha. You don't act on the seed, you know? So even if you do prayaschitta, this is the fun part, even if you do prayaschitta, you may be able to get rid of prarabdha, but you can't get rid of aparabdha. You can't get rid of the seeds. So even though it doesn't come up right now, as something I did something, so then I do that to get rid of it, but the seed to do that, it will come again. And especially if I don't get a reaction, I do it again. Right? You know, the kid does something, they think it's wrong, they look around, and if they don't get anything for it, you know, if later when mommy comes home, she doesn't notice, you know, then they'll do it again. You know, so that's the point, is even though they've done the austerity, that austerity only gets rid of that reaction, that balances. But that you've done the activity, that produces the reaction as it produces another one. So then the future will do it again. So it doesn't solve anything. You know, like that. It makes people feel good if they're working on a temporary cycle. But as far as actually, it means why should they get? Because they've done wrong. But what's actually wrong is they're lacking God consciousness. So you said, no, he did this, he should get this kind of reaction. But the point is then why should he get that? You know what I'm saying? Just because we think it's wrong or something? You know, what about, you know, what God has to say about it? What about, it's his laws, it's not our laws. Right? Ethics is his laws, not our laws. All such reactions are immediately nullified by devotional service. All, right? Other ones can reduce something, but not the seed. That's the whole point. You know, like that's what was the example before of the bamboo. When underneath the bamboo, there's all these creepers, but all the leaves are there. So you light the leaves, it burns that, and you can't see anything. You think, okay, now it's clean. But within a short time, all these creepers come up again. Why? Because the roots weren't gotten.
So devotional service, we're replacing. So that means when the seed comes up again, we're not inclined.
We're not using the seed as material.
Mm.
The desire comes up, but we're using Krishna's service.
Yes.
So the seed doesn't sprout because it's a material seed. Right? But now it's done devotional service. So the devotional service creates devotional service. So then there's more devotional service. You know, just like the modes, you know, the material creates material.
Mm.
You do material activity, it creates more implication in the material.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So like that.
Maharaj, is that why, sorry. Maharaj, is that why Yamanacharya was coming up?
Yeah. I mean, that's just what the mind does. Sometimes you say, oh, but if you're, you know, advanced, that won't happen. It's like, who said it won't happen? In whose book? Whose Kanista book is that from? In reality, it's just the mind, just whatever the habit is and this and that, that's what happens. He's a king who became a devotee. So therefore, activities of kings comes up. You know, like that. Because that's just what the mind does. it's a material element, it's not us. So it brings it up. The point is how we respond to it. Yes.
Maharaj, the material seed, I know the idea is not to allow it to sprout, but if it has sprout, it can't be nullified?
The point is you just engage in Krishna's service so that when that seed comes along again, you don't take advantage again, otherwise you get the reaction again. You know, so you don't worry about the reactions that are coming. What you worry about is what starts the reaction, which is the engagement in material activity. So you give that up, then, you know, whatever reactions are there from the past, those will come anyway. Like that. You had something, sir?
Yes, so it means when we have like a material desire and spiritual desire, means there is a competition.
There's a competition. Yes. But the advantage is the spiritual is superior to the material. So if you just follow the process, spiritual will always win. If you follow the process, yeah. So that's why association with devotees, because they're serving, so you take on that mood. That's why association is so important.
But isn't it that it's just a matter of time before we will follow the process?
Yeah, it is just a matter of time. It's just whether now or, you know, after unlimited lifetimes. You know, it's like, hey, it's up to you. You know, it's like that. Everybody will go back to Godhead. It's just when. You know, and you know, if we've been here since time immemorial, that's a long time. That doesn't mean like day before yesterday or something. You know, two lifetimes back or something like that. You know, you're talking about a long, long time. You know, yeah, that's a fun point. Someone's sinful, right? They're following sinful life. So the point is from there they would go out of the human species. You know, into all kinds of other things, or they'd be back in these situations. So you know that in between, and when they go out of those, you don't know how long they'll be out. Because some of them, like Krini Bhojan, it's 100,000 years. You know, some of these things are quite a long time. So it's very interesting when you take sinful people and they regress them, and there's all this just chain of human lives, just one after the other. You know, but how is that possible? You know, so that's not one. Is even if you're taking it that was that, it's not them now. That was like previous Kali Yuga or the ones before that. Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, stuff like that. You know, because in between, then they were not doing so good.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah, yeah. All such reactions are immediately nullified by devotional service. When devotional service is present in one's heart, desires to perform sinful activities have no place there, right? So therefore they don't sprout. Sinful life is due to ignorance, which means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position as an eternal servant of God. But when one is fully Krishna conscious, he realizes that he's God's eternal servant. So he doesn't act on anything like that.
Prarabdha remains. When we become devotees, we try to engage things in Krishna consciousness.
Right.
Krishna service. So can we say that Prarabdha may change?
And I mean, like what? You want to change like the color of your hair, or what about the Prarabdha you want
to
change?
No, like you were supposed to be hit by the truck.
Okay. So you want to know if there's any possibility of not getting hit by the truck.
Oh,
yes,
I know.
Because it says here all reactions are immediately nullified by devotional service. So in other words, means the reactions that will come are only going to come if there's actually a need for them to come for you to learn something. Means it, but for the materialist, they will come.
Yes.
Whether he's learned or not, it doesn't matter. But for the devotee, if he's actually learned, there's no need for it. So that's why something that may be there, the astrologer says, oh, this is going to happen, and then it doesn't happen. It's just because it doesn't need to happen. Right? But if something does happen, generally that means there was a need for it to happen. Like that. Does that make sense? Okay? So that's what it means. It's not there now, it's in the control. Now it's Krishna karma. So it's not actually karma anymore. But the point is the rectification of something is the same, right? Whether you know, you're a devotee or not, if you have a particular material symptom, the reaction to that symptom is designed that you'll lose interest in it, right? The people are so determined that even though these things happen, right, you know, the guy skiing, fabulous powder, you know, goes off the edge of something, hits a tree, you know, breaks every bone in his body, right? He's a Minerva cast for 9 months. But when he can get up again and, you know, after his therapy and that, he might be on the slopes again. You know, I'll just watch out for the trees next time, right? You know, he didn't count rocks, he didn't, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the problem. That's because of the seeds. So they just come up again and again and like that. But for the devotee, then the reaction will come only if there's a need to. Mm-hmm. Right? It means our consciousness is such, then you know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like one has, you know, need for facilities, one doesn't, then they come. But then they go out, just like you see devotees maybe at all kinds of levels of sophistication and opulence and everything. But if they step out of devotional service, they go right back to wherever they were before. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the thing, is that it's theirs because Krishna's arranging it. Yeah.
Does this relate to learning by hearing or seeing or experiencing? Or is this a different...
Means learning.
Yeah, I mean...
It means you've heard or you practice, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, as long as it's learned. You know, or you've learned something but it's reduced, or, you know what I'm saying, that purification is required, that Krishna's, you know, from being run over by a truck, you know, you stub your toe, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, and you're thinking, oh, you know, Krishna's not protecting me, and I, you know, would you rather get run over by a truck? Hey, you know, that's the alternative, right? Be happy with the stubbed toe.
We see also often devotees, they seem to get not very hurt by accidents. I mean, quite fortunate when
yeah. Think, no, that's you know. That. It's like one devotee was saying, he was on one of those crazy buses going up to Badrinath. The roads are like this. I mean, insane. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's fortunate that they have two wheels in the back, because some of the times one of them's not on the road, because it's road and then it drops off 2,000 feet. So he was in the back of the bus, you know, because he came late and it's hot, so the window's open and all that, and he's sitting there. And he fell asleep. The next thing he knows, he wakes up, he's in a tree. Right?
Yeah.
You know, the road's there, there's a tree right next to it, he's in that tree. He looks down, and 2,000 feet down's the bus.
Okay.
So somehow or another, he just got thrown out of the bus in that, and you know, he didn't even know what was happening. Yeah, he was asleep. Yeah, so that's Krishna takes care. So that doesn't mean that I would recommend those buses.
No.
But if you do, leave the window open. I'm not sure which side he was on, you know. So which side he was on that it was more favorable to falling out the window? Because if you're on this side and the bus rolls that way, then you fall in. So you should be on this side, so when the bus rolls, then you fall out.
Maybe because of him, the bus fell on the right side, the side he was on.
Could be. You never know, but whatever it is.
You didn't see more people on the tree, though.
No, he was the only one in the tree. Everybody else was in the bus.
They fell in a holy river.
Hmm?
It's a holy river, though, fortunately. Yes.
Oh, okay. So then, you know. Okay, so then they could look at it. Okay. Well, they went back to Godhead. Right? I'm stuck in a tree. You know, what happened?
And then the tree broke.
That's in the cartoon. Okay, sinful life is due to ignorance, which means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position as an eternal servant of God. But when one is fully Krishna conscious, he realizes he is God's eternal servant, right? So then all opportunities are used for Krishna, so therefore the material seeds aren't taken advantage of. In this regard, Jiva Goswami comments that bhakti may be divided into two divisions. Santata, devotional service that continues incessantly with faith and love, and Kadachitki, devotional service that does not continue incessantly, but is sometimes awakened. incessantly flowing devotional service, santata, may be divided into two categories. One, service performed with slight attachment, and two, spontaneous devotional service. Intermittent devotional service, kadachitki, may be divided into three categories. Raga bhasha mayi, devotional service in which one is almost attached. Raga bhasha shunya swarupa bhuta, devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love, but one likes the constitutional position of serving. And abhasa rupa, a slight glimpse of devotional service. As for atonement, if one has caught even a slight glimpse of devotional service, all needs to undergo prayaschitya, atonement, are superseded. Therefore, atonement is certainly unnecessary when one has achieved spontaneous love, and above that, attachment with love, which are signs of increasing advancement in kadachitki. Even in the stage of abhasa rupa bhakti, all the reactions of sinful life are uprooted and vanquished. Srila Jiva Goswami expresses the opinion that the word karchnyena means that even if one has a desire to commit sinful activities, the roots of that desire are vanquished merely by abhasa rupa bhakti. The example of Bhaskara, the sun, is most appropriate. The abhasa feature of bhakti is compared to twilight, and the accumulation of one's sinful activities is compared to fog. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun need do no more than merely manifest its first rays, and the fog immediately disappears. Similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with devotional service, all the fog of his sinful life is immediately vanquished. So the point is that if you take up devotional service, then prayaschitya is not important, right? As we see, as Mana is even pointing out very subtly that the actual things that purify are the association of great personalities, association, chanting, and studying the scriptures. That's what actually is going to purify. Because then if you're going to say, no, they have to have a prayaschitta, there must be a purificatory thing, then you have to be sure that the process that you give actually gives that results. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, what's the connection? Right? As we were discussing in the morning, is that you have the cause and the effect. The effect has to be rooted in the cause. Right? The cause has those qualities that are manifest through the effect. So the point is if you have an activity, you have to make sure that that's what's going to connect the two. So that's what Shastra then gives, if you're worried about prayaschitta, okay, this is how it's done. Right? But if you're not worried about prayaschitta, then the point is increase one's hearing and chanting and associating. That's this service, devotional service, is going to purify and get rid of all the problems. Prayaschitta actually never does. It just makes people happy, that's all.
And I was wondering about what is the role of repentance in progress in Krishna consciousness?
Repentance means that you understand that acting in ignorance is of no value, not being absorbed in Krishna, these kind of things. So that brings you the proper mentality. That will have an effect with the others. Just like if, you know, everybody comes down to the you know, how you say, well, after chasing the lady down to the appropriate spot, you know, at the wall, and everybody's got their rock, if they all throw the rocks, it's not that it actually purifies the lady as much as it makes the people who threw the rocks happy. You know what I'm saying? And it also makes a point is okay, don't do that one because it doesn't work out so good. Does that make sense? So it's more of a social thing. That one may be purified of the prarabdha, but one is not purified of the desire to do it again. So it doesn't really do anything. So that's why the example is given of an elephant's bath. Elephant takes a very nice bath. They love taking baths. You have to get in there, scrub them like that. They use stones to scrub because the skin's very tough. So, you know, how you say? What's that called?
Exfoliation
of elephant skin is not a simple task. You know, it's not some gentle little, you know, like sugar and nice scented oils or, you know, some pomegranate seeds or, you know, something like that. No, it's a rock, you know. And the elephant's big, you know, so you'll be there for a few hours, right? And he gets out, nice bath, loves staying in the water. Many times you have to kick it out of the water because it'd rather sit in there all day, right? But then it comes out, and then it'll pack dirt and throw it all over itself. So that's prayaschitta. So that's why it's not that important. Okay. Discourse 12. Concluding topics. Seeing through the eyes of knowledge. Topic 23. The threefold course of transmigration. Right? So this is going to explain how transmigration works. O sinless one, the whole sacred law applicable to the four castes has been declared to thee. Communicate to us now according to the truth, the ultimate retribution for their deeds. So the ultimate retribution. Because now we've done prayaschitta before. That retribution, what's the ultimate retribution? Briti. The ultimate retribution is that reformation which purifies one from material existence and reestablishes one's eternal position on the transcendental platform. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13, Srila Sutta Goswami describes this as the perfection of one's duties. Ata pumbir dvija shreshta varnashrama vibhagasha swanush chitasya dharmasya samsitir haritoshanam. O best amongst the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discarding the duties prescribed for one's own occupation, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the personality of Godhead. Purport. Human society all over the world is divided into four castes and four orders of life. The four castes are the intelligent caste, the martial caste, the productive caste, and the labor caste. These castes are classified in terms of one's work and qualification and not by birth. Then again, there are four orders of life, namely the student life, the householder's life, the retired, and the devotional life. In the best interest of human society, there must be such divisions of life. Otherwise, no social institution can grow in a healthy state. And in each and every one of the above-mentioned divisions of life, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. This institutional function of human society is known as the system of Varnashram Dharma, which is quite natural for the civilized life. Right? So if it's not natural, then you connect the dots. Right? The Varnashram Institute is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another. When the aim of life, in other words, realization of the absolute truth, is missed by too much attachment for indriya priti, or sense gratification, as already discussed herein before. The institution of the varnashram is utilized by selfish men to pose an artificial predominance. Right? So in other words, people use it that way, and people then see that, and then think that this is not good, and what about the rights, and what about equality, and what about this, and what about that, you know? So the problem is that's when it's being misused. If you're interested in the material benefits from varnashram, then they can turn into that. But the point is it's a system mentioned here, you know, so the institution can grow properly, so everybody can cooperate together. So then if it's used properly, it's natural, because whatever the position, it can be engaged in the Lord's service. It's not that one can and another can't. Like that. Also interesting, herein before, right? Just the word, like that. Because some people get into those kind of combinations of words and try to make whole philosophies out of it. In the Kali Yuga or in the age of coral, this artificial predominance is already current. But the saner section of the people know it well that the divisions of caste and orders of life are meant for smooth social intercourse and high thinking, self-realization, and not for any other purpose. Right? So he's saying it's already entered. It's already current. But those who are intelligent know actually what it's for. Right? So when people say, no, there is no Varnashram, or that was 5,000 years ago, Prabhupada's writing these books now. Right? This is first canto. So this would have been written in the 50s, 60s. So there were still people who were following it then. Right? It's not that suddenly now, you know, when 66 comes, then something like they all die. Just, you know, it's just, that's it. Oh, the whole planet, they all die. So that's... Herein, the statement of Bhagavatam is that the highest aim of life, or the highest perfection of the institution of the Varnashram Dharma, is to cooperate jointly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13. Right, so that's what it's for. It's not for anything else. It means you're supposed to serve the Lord, and in serving the Lord, because we say devotional service is complete, everything comes to it. So that means all the economic, all the knowledge, all the administrative, all the everything comes out of it. But you're not doing it for that, you're doing it for Krishna. That comes as a side product. Next verse. To the great sages who addressed him thus, righteous Bhrigu, sprung from Manu, answered, hear the decision concerning the whole connection with actions. Right? So now they've said, before he said, I've explained now all the natural positions. Then he says, I'll explain what happens when things aren't right. So when things aren't right, what you can do, and if there's something, you know, that's an anomaly, these are the prayaschitta, all those kind of things. So now it's said, now you've explained everything. Now they want to know how does action and reaction work. Action springing from the body, mind, and words. Action which springs from the mind, from speech, and from the body produces either good or evil results. By action are caused the various conditions of men, the highest, the middling, and the lowest. Right? So he's going to divide everything into high, middle, and low. Know that the mind is the instigator here below, even to that action which is connected with the body, and which is of three kinds, has three locations, and falls under 10 heads. Right? So in other words, it's the mind that's going to give all the problems. But it may be done through the body or through the words, but it's still, it's the mind. Because I didn't have to turn it over.
I looked after this one myself.
Hmm?
I looked after this printing one.
Okay, thank you. Vritti, the three kinds are highest, middling, and lowest. The three locations are body, mind, and words. And the tend heads are three of the body, three of the mind, four of the speech, thus equaling ten. The tend heads. So that means like, cattle, you tend cattle, so you're tending your head. Yeah, that's true. So you have to tend the ten. Okay. Three kinds of sinful mental action. All right. So what we see is how it gets complicated, because you have highest, middlest, lowest, body, mind, and words, and then of the body there's three different kinds, the mind there's three different kinds, and the speech is four kinds. You have to watch out what you say. Okay, three kinds of sinful mental action. Coveting the property of others, thinking one's heart of what is undesirable, and adherence to false doctrines are the three kinds of sinful mental action. Right? Because one may think, I can think whatever I like. Yeah, you can, but it's not, you won't get a reaction for it. Yes.
It says in the Kali Yuga we don't get the reaction for our mental.
Means you covet, you don't get a reaction the way, it means before, if you coveted the property of someone else, you would get the reaction of stealing. So here all it is that it's sinful mental action. So it will have a result in that it will contaminate the mind. Right? And so by this, let's say everything else you do is proper. But if this is there, then you can take birth in low families. That makes sense. Okay. It happens. The four kinds of evil verbal action: abusing others, speaking untruth, detracting from the merits of all men, and talking idly, shall be the four kinds of evil verbal action. Right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, abusing, speaking untruth, and truth means what's connected to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Right? Specifically, for us, it means what's connected to Krishna. Right? Detracting from the merits of all men, always pointing out how this one's this and that one's that. So these are all the... And talking idly, right? So...
Prajalpa? Hmm?
Yeah. I mean, what else? Prajalpa means you're just talking. You know, talking about this, talking about that. Doesn't have any purpose.
Nope.
So, I mean, you know, in other words, this one we could say very much are... We know these ones well, right? You know? Previous one, coveting the property of others, of course, otherwise the modern economic system wouldn't function properly if it didn't have that one. Okay, thinking in one's heart what is undesirable, that's pretty standard. Adherence to false doctrines, not necessarily everybody's very philosophical, but, you know, they have their own theories in life and all that, so. Three kinds of wicked bodily action. Taking what has not been given, injuring creatures without the sanction of the law, and holding criminal intercourse with another man's wife are declared to be the three kinds of wicked bodily action. Okay. Taking what has not been given, that means, you know, the applying, coveting the property of others. Right. And that means that includes the guy's donkey, right?
Are those in degrees of severity
then?
For Kali Yuga?
Yeah, no. Manu's for all yugas. Like that. Manu's universal. So you said, Parasara will write, means on Manu, bringing out details specifically for Kali Yuga. Like that. I think Yajnavalkya also does. Like that.
I just meant Kastro.
Okay. But some of them are written just for one yuga, right? Only for Satyuga, or only for Treta, or only Dwapara, or only for, you know, a certain time. But Manu is for all four, so it always applies. The question for us is, certain things don't necessarily apply if one's a devotee. But as far as that this is the mechanics, how the material world functions, that always applies. That doesn't change.
Mm-hmm. But if someone is not a devotee, is automatically engaged in one of these things?
Generally, but he also can be very pious and be not engaged in these. You know what I'm saying? He can be very pious and doing pious activities. And so he keeps himself nicely situated. But the problem is because of, we mentioned, of all the desire seeds.
Yes.
Then at some point, then you get so much facility, but someone always has more.
Yes.
So at some point, then, you see, when you're working for something, you generally keep the good qualities, you know, prominent to some degree. You know, and these others, because you're working. But once you get results, then you start to enjoy the results. Then you look around at other people's results. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's like you'll notice a few nice cars in specific when you're working for buying a nice car. But when you have the nice car, you'll notice how many other people have the exact same car. Right? And then there's going to be a car better than that. So then that's when all these other qualities will come up. So by following, being pious, you'll get to that level. But the problem is, once you're at that level, to maintain the piety, that's the weakness in the karma. Well, I mean, other than just material world, you can't be satisfied anyway. But just that you're always going to do pious work. The point is, if you have all the facility, you're going to think, "Why do the pious work?" Right? You know. The effects of action. A man attains the results of a good or evil mental act in his mind, that of a verbal act in his speech, and that of a bodily act in his body. So wherever you're getting the reaction, it's come from that itself. You know what I'm saying? You say something, bad, and then it'll happen according to that. It'll happen verbal. So it's not that you say something bad and then the lightning bolt comes out and then, you know, there's this little pile of ash there. You know. That's you do something physical, then that happens. In consequence of many sinful acts committed with his body, a man becomes in his next birth something inanimate. In consequence of sins committed by speech, a bird or a beast. And in consequence of mental sins, he is reborn in a low caste. Right. So that's how it works out. You know, birds and beasts make a lot of noise. Right? When you hear it's something like that. So. And the bodily, then, something inanimate. When it gets too much, then, you know, you end up as a tree. Right? Okay. Right? Because that's the thing, is I say illicit sex, you end up as a tree. Right? Because that means of this, that's the worst you can get. Or you bother other living entities, injure other living entities, so as something that's inanimate, you can't bother them so much. Of course, you can maybe work it out as a tree that when the animal goes by, you drop a branch on it, but, you know, generally they're not that clever. You know? But I'm sure if you really wanted to be, then, you know, that desire was there, then the modes of nature would arrange it, but unfortunately the tree wouldn't know it's happened, though you did take part, so you still don't get the benefit. So that man is called a true sannyasi, one who has control over the body, mind, and words, right? So that's why body, mind, and words are always mentioned. Because that's what you're, and the whole idea is that sannyas means you're functioning in that position of being detached from the performance of your work, the results, that is for Krishna. That's actual sannyas. So that means, sannyas means engagement with the body, mind, and words in the Lord's service. Right? That man is called a true Tridandan, in whose mind these three, the control over his speech, Vagdanda, the control over his thoughts, Manodanda, and control over his body, Kayadanda, are firmly fixed. Right? So it's interesting, he says Tridandan, right? Yes. There is no such thing in the Vedic as a Ekadandan, you know. Vritti, the same is presented by Srila Rupa Goswami in the first verse of Sri Upadeshamrita. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. And it's the same principle, body, mind, and words. That man who keeps this threefold control over himself with respect to all created beings, right, not just to some and to others, not to all, and wholly subdues desire and wrath, right? Because desire, if it's not fulfilled, creates anger, right? So no desire, no anger, right? Thereby, assuredly gains complete success, right? Because complete success means actually getting out of the material world, right? Because if you can get that complete control, then for the karmakanda, you think, then I can get elevated to the heavenly planets because I can do all my karmas properly. The impersonalists will think, then I can get liberation, right? But as understood, the devotee is complete success actually means going back to Godhead, right? Because then body, mind, and words are engaged in the Lord's service.
Maharaj, is it possible to control the body without control the mind and world, or control the three?
No, because the mind is the root of all of it. So if something goes wrong in the others, means the mind's involved.
Yes.
But it manifests as a verbal or physical result, so you get the reaction there. Mm-hmm. But these other three, then they're only happening in the mind. So for those, then you only get the reaction in the mind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, knower. The knower and the field of action. Him who impels this corporal self to action, they call the kshetragya, the knower of the field. But him who does the acts, the wise name, the bhutatma, the self consisting of the elements. Right? Catch that. In other words, the kshetragya is the living entity. The bhutatma is the body, or the naimittic nature, the conditioned nature. Because the conditioned nature is actually what's performing the activities, not the soul. Right? Viti. The kshetrag in the north of the field is the soul, and the bhutatma, the self consisting of the elements, is the material body. Regarding the various uses of the term atma, Srila Prabhupada states in the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. In the grossest sense, the word atma, self, refers to the body. In the subtler sphere, the mind or intelligence is the atma. In the real sense, atma means the soul. In the gross stage, we are very fond of protecting and satisfying the body. And in the subtler stage, we are very fond of satisfying the mind and intelligence. But above the mental and intellectual planes, where the atmosphere is spiritualized, we can understand, I am not this body, intellect, or mind. That was an interesting one. Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. That is the platform of real understanding. Right. So here, another internal self that appears with all embodied kshetragyas is called jiva, through which the kshetragya becomes sensible of all pleasure and pain in successive births. This internal self is the subtle body, through which the soul experiences material pleasure and pain. So here, because kshetragya is the sign is the soul, so here jiva is that means the element, the life and all that, that's coming from the subtle body. Your material life is coming because of the subtle body. We are simply desiring, but it is actually the dynamic that carries it out, because it said the mind is what makes everything happen. Right? These two, the great one and the kshetragya, who are closely united with the elements, subsist in him who resides in the multiform created, in the multiform created beings pervading them all. Vritti, the great one, refers to the Mahabhuta, the material body, and the kshetragya is the soul. In material existence, the soul, though distinct from matter, is in close contact with the material elements, right, who are closely united with the elements, right? The living entities in matter both subsist in the supersoul who resides within each and every living being, right? So the great one, the Mahabhutas, right, and the kshetragya, then they're closely connected, right? Because the Mahabhuta means the body is made up of the elements, so it's closely connected with the elements, with earth, water, fire, air, heat, like this, and the soul identifies with it, so he's closely connected, right? But then besides this, then there is him who resides in all the forms. So that's the supersoul. From his form, innumerable forms go forth, who has constantly impelled the multiform creatures to act. Right? Means from supersoul, then everything's expanding. Right? The universal form is there, all the different options, all the different things, what can be done, if one has a desire, that's then carried out, right, through the effect of the modes of nature. But according to the laws of the universal form is Paramatma, right? At least the action part. What are the laws? That's Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. But what are the action and reaction that you taking part in it? That's Kiradakshaya Vishnu. Does that make sense? The Brahman level of masculine and feminine principle is how they can interact. What are the options? Right? What are the qualities of the cause? You know, that you'll find in the effect. That's Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. But that you're involved in interacting with that cause and effect and creating all the things and controlling that, that's Paramatma. Right? That makes sense? Because sometimes you hear Paramatma is universal form, sometimes you hear Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, but it's two aspects. In other words, Sankarshan and Aniruddha. Or excuse me, Prajumna and Aniruddha. Right? Okay. Transitions depending on merit and demerit. The subtle body warded for hellish punishments, right? Because there's a subtler body that's used to cover the subtle body when you get hellish punishments. Another strong body formed of particles of the five elements and destined to suffer the torments in hell is produced after death in the case of wicked men, right? Because you don't go to hell in your regular body, means because that you left behind. You know, it's not that, you know, they look and it's gone, because the Yamadu says, hey, we need that, you know, like that, you know, so then it's that, so but the subtle body, how do you interact, right, you know, So therefore it's covered with another one that's just specifically meant for, you know, dealing with the torments in hell, right? Because your regular body won't do it. The subtle body you can't do anything with. It means they can drag you up to the top of the mountain, right? Like that. And then throw you off and you're smashed into pieces. And then they'll come down to the bottom, pick you up, drag you up to the top again. You can't do that with a regular body. You have to have a special one for that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's meant for that. It's
custom,
just designed.
Custom made.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, all the feelings and senses and all that is all there because the subtle body's there. You know, so you get all the benefits, you know, but at the same time, it can even fall apart and then they can come and put you back together, you know, and then drag you back up again. So it's you know, it's just designed for this.
Neat trick if it wasn't for all the pain.
Yeah, but yeah. When the evildoers, by means of that body, have suffered there the torments imposed by Yama, the constituent parts are united, each according to its class, with those very elements from which they were taken. Right? In other words, that body is there, and then when you've suffered all you're supposed to do, then all the elements of that body then go back to where they were from. So the earth goes back to the earth, the water, like that. So it's just there for that, and then it goes back.
So even though this is a more subtle body than still
yeah, yeah, like that. It was just yeah, yeah, because it says of the five elements. Because you already have the other three. That's a judgment. We have suffered for he having suffered for his faults, which are produced by attachment to sensual objects and which result in misery, approaches free from stains those two mighty ones. Right. So now having already been, means the first judgment by Yamaraj, and then going to the hellish, you know, situations and all that, and having gone through that, now being purified of all that, right, except for the beach, right, the seed is just still there. But other than that, you could say, hey, it's 3 out of 4, it's not bad, right, you know, but whatever. The two mighty ones are the super soul and the material energy. Those two together examine without tiring the merit and guilt of that individual soul, united with which it obtains bliss or misery both in this world and the next. Right? So the material energy is examining all this. Right? You know, and the super soul, like that. So that's all going on. So then it's decided, now what happens? Right? You know. If the soul chiefly practices virtue and vice to a small degree, it obtains bliss in heaven, clothed with those very elements, right? So whatever's the more subtle heavenly elements, it'll be clothed with that. Clothed with those very elements indicates a heavenly body made of material elements, right? Because before, in hell, you had the hellish body, you know, created of material elements. But if it chiefly cleaves to vice and to virtue in a small degree, it suffers, deserted by the elements, the torments inflicted by Yama. Deserted by elements means without a gross material body, right? Means the demigods have a subtle gross material body, right? But in the hellish regions, there is no gross body. It's some special thing that they use just for harassing you there.
Heightened pain.
Yeah, yeah. So it's able to appreciate the pain, but, you know, not fall apart. Right? Because, you know.
What fun is that?
Huh?
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah, yeah. The individual soul, having endured those torments of Yama, again enters, free from taint, those very five elements, each in due proportion. Following hellish punishment, the soul again attains a gross material body, the peculiarities of which are in due proportion to one's previous actions. Right? It's not that, it means you're purified from what you did wrong before. It doesn't mean that, it means that, so you had a particular position you're in, then you go to the hellish regions, you're purified of that, now you go back to whatever it was. You know, it's not that now it makes it great and you come out and you're some fabulous guy. No, you're the same old guy. Now it's just a matter, are you going to do the same nonsense again, or, you know, does that make sense? You know, okay, this time we'll change the name. What do you think? Tennessee Fried Chicken. Right, you know? And then when he goes to the same thing again, okay, maybe Virginia? What about Hawaii? You know, Monte Carlo, fried chicken, you know, okay. No, at some point he figures out Don't mess with the chicken.
It's the fried chicken.
Means free from pain. He's free from particular things that he had suffered for. But then he has his conditioning, which is also full of other desires, mainly sinful.
That's why this whole thing, don't get involved, right?
No, I just wanted to understand.
Yeah. No, this is the same thing. Because it says free from taint, but what can it get rid of? You can only get rid of the prarabdha. Mm. Yes. Right? Because this is the prarabdha. You know, going down in the Yamadutas, you know, having fun with you, that's prarabdha. Right? You know, so it's not, in other words, you can only get run over by a truck once here. But if the Yamadutas take you, they can run you over the truck all day and do that for hundreds of thousands of years. It's not a problem, you know.
And you get rid of all the prarabdha that you have?
You get rid of that prarabdha, but the seeds are still there. You get the prarabdha that is you're there for. Because you can only be purified from those things that you've been purified from.
So if you get into details, like they have the hell for this and the hell for that, yeah. They keep coming with all of that, so you migrate from one to another?
It means when you finish the one, then they take you over to the next one, you know, instead of, okay, running over the truck, now they're running you over with a tractor, you know, like that, and that one's over. Then, you know, until finally get down to an old lady with one of those little walking things, you know. That takes a long time, right? Yeah, the truck's like that, you know, she just goes over one of these, you know. That's really slow. You know? No? Does that make sense? So you finish with one, then you go to the next. So whatever it is that you're due for, then, you know. And so, and probably, you know, and it'll be decided what's the order. Or they might even ask you what order you want. You know, you want to be thrown off the mountain first, or you want to be, you know, deep fried in oil first. You know, so, okay, I'll take the mountain. You know. At least there's a nice breeze on the way down, right? You know. So.
Material nature, they will examine you after all that stuff.
Yes.
So we only hear about Yamaraj who examines, and then when you free you up.
You're out, but who's examining you at all that time? You're doing all this stuff now. Is Yamaraj involved?
No, he's not.
No, it's super soul and the material nature.
Oh, they do it on the way.
Yeah, it means all that. It means according to what you've done and all that, Yamaraj is simply the Lord's officer. So he's simply carrying out. You know, they're the big ones. Right? What did he use?
The great one.
Mighty. The two mighty ones.
Two mighty ones.
Those two mighty ones, yeah.
So as we speak.
Yeah, because it said the sun, the moon, the night, the day, the wind, the fire. You know, the earth,
directions.
The directions, you know, so it's not like you can hide somewhere. Turn off the light, no one will see, right, you know.
And the super soul.
Super soul, yes.
Or like that guy who was drinking, but he had a lead roof. So Allah couldn't see.
Allah couldn't see, okay. I wonder if that name is that, what's it one time? Faust. I wonder if he can get through a lead roof. Faust? Maybe it's to Czech. Faust? Never heard of Faust. It's a form of the devil. So when it said when he comes and collects somebody, he takes them out through the roof. So when you come into the house and they're gone, there's a hole in the roof, then you know that Faust. Oh. Of course, it may have been something that came up during World War II, and just, you know, some bomb dropped through the roof, and so then, oh, okay, that's, who knows?
Okay.
Let man, having recognized even by means of his intellect these transitions of the individual soul, which depend on merit and demerit, always fix his heart on the acquisition of merit. Right? In other words, you do good, that it takes you to the nice situation. You do bad, it doesn't work out nice. It doesn't work out good. Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow with the three modes of nature.
Monday?
Yeah, Monday. Yeah. Better Monday. We always meet on Monday, right?
I can come tomorrow.
No, Monday will be okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada,
Samaveta
Bhaktivedanta, Jayadaya Gaurakrishna.